Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel once again. Anyway, I'm talking about the Latchian Corridor situation. So the Latchian Corridor is on the eastern edge of Armenia. Armenia is a small landlocked country of under 3 million people in the south of the Caucasus Mountains, which is bounded by Georgia, Turkey, Iran, and its deadly enemy, Azerbaijan. So they've been fighting on and off for over a century, the Azerbaijanis and the Armenians. And so they're both part of the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union split up in 1991, and so we became two completely separate countries. Comrade Stalin, who ruled the Soviet Union from the 20s to 1953, in his infinite unwisdom, he transferred Nagorno-Karabakh from Armenia to Azerbaijan, despite it being majority Armenian area. And then he moved in even more Armenians. So there's an Armenian majority region, Nagorno-Karabakh, that was legally part of Azerbaijan, about 80% ethnically Armenian in 1991 at the dissolution of the Soviet Union. So Comrade Stalin had done this to try and make the breakup of the Soviet Union impossible. Well, he didn't, but he did make it exceptionally bloody. This is a problem deliberately created by Moscow. So they fought over it, Armenia and Azerbaijan. The Armenians won, despite being outnumbered about 3-1. And they had a Russian motorized infantry division on their side. And so that they controlled Nagorno-Karabakh up until 2020. And Nagorno-Karabakh, its name is indicative of its multi-ethnic history and the way it's passed through numerous hands. Is Nagorno, meaning like mountainous or on the mountain in Russian, and Karabakh, meaning black garden in Fars, as in Persian. So anyway, in 2020, the Azerbaijanis fought back, and they took back most of the Nagorno-Karabakh, not all of it. Armenian actually occupied some of Azerbaijan proper, areas that even the Armenians acknowledge were properly part of Azerbaijan. But the international community regards Nagorno-Karabakh as legally Azerbaijani, which it is, even though since 1991, almost no Azerbaijanis have lived there. There have been massacres of civilians on both sides, most notoriously the Khajali massacre of Azerbaijani civilians by the Armenian military. Now, partly the Armenians say we're paying them back for over 70 years earlier, massacres of Armenian civilians in Azerbaijan, and the Azerbaijanis' cousins, the Turks, carrying out the Armenian genocide in the First World War. So it's all a very melancholy and gory history. But anyway, Armenia is a part of the CSTO, the Collective Security Treaty Organization, which is Russia's answer to NATO, consisting of six member states: Russia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, and Armenia. So Armenia is not a wealthy country. It's all but bereft of natural resources. It's heavily dependent on Russia economically. It's got so many guest workers in Russia, as well as buying things from Russia, military equipment, and so on. Azerbaijan is an oil-rich country, gas-rich country, but obviously that goes to an infinitesimally small elite. President Aliyev and his cronies, and most people live in relative poverty. So there was this peace agreement brokered by Moscow in November 2020, and it provided for the Latchian Corridor and 1,500 Russian peacekeepers to ensure that one of these Armenian exclaves could still be supplied with food and so on. People could go in and out, and they'd be protected by Russian peacekeepers. But the Azerbaijanis, a few months ago, they blocked that, and they won't let anyone in and out. And they want those people, those Armenians, to admit that they are Azerbaijani citizens, even if not Azerbaijani ethnically. And that's been going on for weeks. There's been a convoy of 19 Armenian trucks carrying humanitarian aid, food and medicine and so forth, trying to get into Nagorno-Karabakh, and they've been blocked there for weeks. And so it's increasing disquiet. They're running low on food and everything else. People can't get to hospital, are dying completely avoidably because of this. Now, originally the Azerbaijanis said that these were environmental protesters blocking the roads. Yeah, right. This is a country which is violently intolerant of the mildest dissent. Any peaceful protest is criminalized. They're obviously doing it at the behest of the Azerbaijani government. They might be civilians who are doing it with the explicit blessing of the Azerbaijani regime. They might be off-duty soldiers or whatever, policemen in plain clothes. And outside any demonstration, you'd see plainclothes policemen. They'd be so blatant. There'd be men in their 20s, 30s or 40s, slim, very tidy. Yeah, their casual clothes, be like a tracksuit or something like that, vigilant, hanging around on the street, very watchful, not on the mobile phone, not chatting or smoking or anything like that, not standing idle. Clearly they've been doing this. So it's caused worry. And so that's why some American politicians, members of the Foreign Relations Committee, have gone, and they were trapped there for a while. The European Union, the United States, they've sought to convince the Azerbaijanis to allow this humanitarian aid convoy through, but they're stonewalling and they're not letting it through. And then they did let one truck through, but they found some prohibited items, some electronic items for sale. And the was it the Red Cross who was sending the convoy through? They said, okay, we admit it's drivers that we employed. We had no idea they're breaking the rules and smuggling this. Not drugs or weapons or something, just as a way to make a bit more money. But unfortunately, that's been a bit of a propaganda lift, a propaganda boost to the Azerbaijani, saying, oh, well, we can't allow this because there's this sort of tax evasion going on. So it's a very troubling situation. Now, Russia has barely grumbled about this one because, remember, they say we'll defend Armenia proper, but we won't defend the Armenians when they illegally occupy Nagorno-Karabakh. And the Russians, they've withdrawn some of their peacekeeping troops from Armenia because they need every man they can get for Ukraine. And part of the CSTO deal is that Russia is able to control Armenia's border with Turkey, which is a NATO state. So that was a bit worrying for Russia if NATO broke through there. And NATO, of all the NATO countries, only one, Turkey, still trades with Russia as normal. It's imposed no sanctions whatsoever, and their flights back and forward as normal. Is the most popular foreign holiday destination for Russian tourists is Turkey. It's important to Turkey's economy, particularly as they're suffering galloping inflation. So it's both in their interest to try and keep relations as cordial as possible. But the Ruskis don't want to queer the pitch with the Turks, and that's why they're not annoying Turkey's sister nation, Azerbaijan, and so that's why Russia is not even speaking up for Armenia. And that's why the Armenian Prime Minister, Nikol Pashinyan, has openly questioned the value of the CSTO, but he's got nowhere else to go. They've got a reasonably friendly relationship with Iran, a Muslim country, whereas Armenia is a Christian country, partly because the Azerbaijanis would quite like back two-thirds of historic Azerbaijan, because it's 200 years ago this year that Iran and Russia struck a deal to divide Azerbaijan between them along a certain river, and that's the border between Azerbaijan and Iran to this day. So two-thirds of Azerbaijan, southern Azerbaijan, is actually part of Iran these days. And so there are about 25 million ethnic Azerbaijanis in Iran, but as far as I'm aware, they don't actually want to be part of the Azerbaijan Republic. Azerbaijan is secular. Iran is a theocracy, officially a Shia state. So the United Nations some days ago sent some experts, and on the 7th of August, they published a document on the United Nations High Commission for Refugees website calling upon humanitarian supplies to be allowed through. So there is a acute paucity of vital staple food, sunflower oil, fish, chicken, dairy products, baby formula, cereal, sugar, and so on. And this really is cruel and inhumane. To be people being malnourished, I don't think is actually starving. So the Armenians might just say, well, we just can't control it. Okay, just give it up. At least they'll be fed if they join Azerbaijan. It'd be a bloodless victory for the Azerbaijanis. So that's why the situation's going on, and I don't see any end in sight. Armenia can't fight successfully. They tried and lost in 2020. They won't be able to purchase arms from Russia. Russia needs all its weapons it can for Ukraine. The Armenians got very little money. Although, curiously, this actually Ukrainian war has been a bit of a boost to their economy because there's been an influx of Russians who are trying to evade conscription coming to Armenia, where they can go without a visa, stay for up to 3 months. They can quite easily get permanent residency. Some of them are at least partly ethnically Armenian, like one quarter Armenian can get citizenship fairly easily, even if they don't speak the language. So it's one of the few countries where Russians are permanently flavor of the month. Something onto Georgia. Situation is more complex there because, of course, of the Russian illegal occupation of Abkhazia and South Ossetia. So I suspect that the Armenians are just going to have to give in the end, because what other option do they have? I mean, sanctioning Azerbaijan, they don't trade them anyway. Negotiations with Turkey were going reasonably well towards normalizing relations, towards reopening embassies, reopening the border, trade with them, which would be a shot in the arm to the economies of both countries. If they could have peaceful relations with their neighbors, that would be great. There is no military option. They're outnumbered over 3-1. The Azerbaijani military technology is a generation ahead of that, the Armenian military technology. As the Ukraine war has proved, that the NATO manufactured technology is far superior. Azerbaijan can afford to purchase that. Armenia can't. Azerbaijan also has friendly relations with Israel, has bought some of their technology, their intelligence, partly because Israel sees it as a listening post to the north of Iran. It puts a chill wind in the mind of the Iranians, the idea they might fight on their northern border if they're also facing air raids from Israel and Saudi Arabia. Right, thank you so much for watching my channel. So please make sure you subscribe and donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Remember, I do lessons online and all sorts of subjects and help people with essays, dissertations, theses, interview practice, elocution, and such like. Toodle pip.